Hello?
Hello, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good for yourself. How are you doing, Rob?
Good. Good, Ricardo. How are you?
Good. Roxana's running a little late. She's parking her car. She's coming in from an appointment. And Anthony and I, she'll walk in now in a few minutes.
Well, let's use this time for you and I to talk a little bit. How is it going? What's on your mind?
Busy. Good. Getting, ready for the holidays and trying to get everything accomplished as well, here, getting the, clients on the phone and also trying to reach out to COIs, have a meeting set up, not next week, at the beginning of December, to go out and meet with a COI. We had a meeting that was supposed to happen yesterday. It didn't happen. Oh, here's Roxana now. And then Roxana just met today with our
hi, Rob.
Hi, Roxana.
Her mentor, our client slash mentor who worked at Merrill for many years.
Sorry, I'm a little late. I had a meeting this morning and the rain.
How did it go?
He gave
how
us
did
three,
it go?
Three referrals.
Three referrals? Wow.
I talked to him today about Supernova. And he said, you should have. I said, we're going back to the basics. And his statement was, you should have never left them, or something like that. So we talked about Supernova. He says, I brought an agenda and all that stuff, and he put everything aside. He said, with me, you don't need to do all this fancy stuff,
Yeah. Do it for him.
Right. So he just wanted to talk, and then he started talking about his health and some concerns that he has, and he wants to make sure his wife is taken care of. And things like that, but he has three. He's referring his. We talked about the enthusiastically endorsed model. He thought that was great.
Good.
He's referring his
realtor,
his concierge doctor, for us to go visit their practices, and we're gonna talk about our business and how we want to see how they do their business and. So, and then he referred somebody who inherited money that said that they had to meet with me. So he talked to them about me, and he's introduced me, and I need to follow up with a phone call.
Good for you. Now, you want to teach him how to introduce you, okay?
Okay.
So what's the best way to get introduced?
I don't know.
Face-to-face and
face-to-face or a telephone call together.
Right, but a conference call, not just a telephone call.
Right, a conference call.
Look, the point is you want to make the best impression you can, and you want to make the prospect the most at ease.
Right.
So something, a connection that might take a month to do would take care of it in one day if he would meet with them and have lunch.
Okay. Point taken.
Okay, so you don't want names and you don't want phone numbers. You want introductions.
Yeah, you did tell us that.
Yep. But it's practice. Look, you're going to get it. It's just that's why I'm here, right?
Yes.
You come back celebrating with three referrals, and you say, oh my God, I did a fabulous job. And I agree. You did a perfect job. The question is, every time we do something, we want to get better.
Absolutely. There's always room for improvement at everything.
Right. So you did, that was a world championship center of influence meeting. You got three referrals. What we want is three introductions.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to leave the term referral out of our vocabulary and replace it with introduction.
Introduction, yes, sir. Got it.
Okay.
We had an appointment yesterday with a prospect that I got from LinkedIn. He has an account at Merrill, but he never showed.
Oh, no.
Oh. So we called to confirm. Anthony called him to confirm. He said he forgot he had a 10:30 meeting, that he would call us if he couldn't make it, and he never even bothered to call.
Now he's going to feel very guilty, you know. So now you got him. You got him right where you want him.
You think, should I follow up or let it be?
Oh, yeah. You definitely should follow up. Most people feel horrible when they do something like that. And so what you want to do is let's basically close them.
Okay.
If he's a jerk, he's a jerk.
Yeah.
But if he's a nice person, he'll feel guilty. He'll want to do something to make up for it. So you say, look, I'm going to make an assumption. The reason you wanted to meet or were willing to meet was because you're not happy at Merrill Lynch. Is that correct?
Yep.
And he goes, yeah, that's correct. All right. Why don't we go ahead and transfer the account?
Why don't we go ahead and transfer the account? Without even a meeting?
Without even a meeting. You had the meeting. He didn't show up.
I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, you could even say before we go ahead and transfer the account, I gotta make sure this is gonna be a good fit for both of us. You know. Do you know how much he has in assets?
Nope. We know nothing about him, just that he's at Merrill.
Okay, so you gotta find out whether he fits your minimum or not. So profile him over the phone. If he meets your minimum, transfer the account. But don't transfer it unless you know he meets your minimum. You make sure he's a good fit for you. If he's going to be a jerk, he doesn't transfer. If he's incredibly apologetic and you think he's going to be a nice guy and he meets your minimum, go ahead and transfer it. And schedule him to come in to your office for an appointment.
Okay. Can you repeat?
No more.
What?
No more. Yeah, no more appointments outside the office. I mean, think about it, right?
Well, no, he was scheduled to come into the office. We never scheduled him outside.
He was coming in.
Okay, good. Good for you. Okay.
Outside the office, we meet, you know, folks at center of influences that we know or very important clients.
Right,
like
right.
Or our top clients.
Good, good. So basically you want to make sure he's a good fit for you. You're going to be taking on 3 or 4 new families this year. You want to make sure he's a good fit. Our minimum is blank, and I want to make sure that that's not going to be a problem for you.
Okay, and can you repeat how I should word it when I call him today?
Yeah, I would say, you know, John, this is Roxana, and I just wanted to follow up on our appointment. For some reason, there must have been an error or mistake, but I want to make sure that that I follow up. And just shut up then and listen. And he'll be like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I forgot, or I did this. And people forget. You know, they're human beings. And if he's very apologetic and he's really nice and he's you know, da-da-da-da-da. Let's just in a couple of minutes do what we were going to do in the appointment. Tell me, why is it that you're unhappy at Merrill Lynch?
Okay.
And if it's rational, you know, if it's if it's, I'm only getting, you know, 15% and the market's up 20, then you're not really interested, right? But if it's, you know, they're not calling me, they give me no service, I don't value them, and you say, okay, I appreciate that. We're going to be taking on 3 or 4 new families this year. We want to just make sure it's going to be a good fit. So can you go over, you know, our minimum is this, and just kind of tell me a little bit about yourself and your investment experience. And he'll say, oh, that we don't have that much, or, you know, yeah, that will be no problem. This is, and I always like to ask clients, you know, what did you like about what your advisors have done in the past? And what haven't you liked?
Right.
And then just say, you know, this is how we work. This is our investment. I mean, this is our planning process. You know, we do forensic planning where we really go into detail and make sure that your estate is set in case something would happen to you and your wife. Our implementation of the planning process is not just the investment process, but the liability process. Make sure your liabilities are as efficient as your investments. So we make sure that any loans that you have outstanding are the most efficient use of interest rates. Our investment process is detailed and we manage risk as well as we manage returns.
Right.
And then our service process we think is second to none. We'll implement the financial plan through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. And we'll give you rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And he says, wow, that sounds amazing. How do you do that? And we say we only do it because we have less than 70 clients each. And he goes, that's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect.
Got it.
Okay, so I'm always nice. I mean, I'm always nice to everybody. You know, they can be mean to me, and I'm still nice to them. But I won't do business with them. You know, if they're jerks, that immediately excludes them. But I've also forgotten about appointments myself, so I'm not infallible, you know. So, you know, life is, you know, everything is great, and then life shows up, right? His child could have gotten, you know, sent to the hospital.
Yeah, no, Anthony spoke to him that morning. He had a 10:30 o'clock meeting that he forgot about.
Well, yeah. Let's just tell them how you work. You know, that everything is by appointment, and if you can't make an appointment, you always call, of course. You know, we'll call you if something comes up and you call us. I mean, I have people that call up at the last minute, and they have something that comes up, and it's just impossible for them to get out of it. It's their best client who's got an emergency. That's okay. You know, long as they call. What I hate, I had one guy that was 10 minutes, you know, he's anywhere from 5 minutes to 10 minutes late for every call, and I'm just hanging on the phone. Well, that's just plain rude, you know. Once it could happen once, but every time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's not a client anymore. He won't ever be a client. I don't do business with people that are rude. I had to finish my obligation with him, and then I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? You don't need to finish an obligation with anybody. You can just, you're running your own practice. You know, they don't, They don't pay you ahead of time to do work like I get paid. So. So this is why you hire a coach, okay? Because you're going to do things really well, but with a coach, you're going to constantly be getting better.
Amen.
So it's not referrals, it's introductions. And then getting the right words are really important. Positioning yourself as not needing new business, wanting to help people because they desperately need it, and you can only help so many people.
Yes.
Okay. So you have to limit yourself, not because you want to, but because you have to. It's impossible to run the practice with more than 70 clients. We just do too much work for them. Okay, so this is the last of the regularly scheduled weeks. So now we go into a monthly process, okay? So every month we're going to meet.
Actually, I think we still have one more on the 29th.
Yeah, this is week 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why do I have this? No, this is week 11. Of course it is. I'm thinking, it's week 12.
You can't get rid of us.
Yeah.
No.
Not just yet, at least for another week.
You have to deal with us one other week.
Okay. So did you watch the video? Do you have questions on the leadership piece?
Well, I was confused at first because remember that somehow I got the video for something else one of those weeks, and it was on leadership. So I didn't know if it was the same thing, but I wasn't able to see the whole video, but I did see a bit of it.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, you gotta. I think.
No, but this is obviously the right week video this week. I just thought it was maybe
something
that was at a different program. You know, for the
manager. Yeah, no, this is leadership of your team, and you know, we have the different roles and responsibilities, right? So this is for the role of vice president of leadership, and everybody is a leader on the team. That's the point of what we try and get across, is that, you know, there are different roles and responsibilities, and you lead those roles. So this is about leadership and how to, you know, you can't do it in one chapter. You know, there's a whole book on leadership. So what I wrote out was, that's not kind of part of this, but somebody asked me, what are the key roles and responsibilities of the leader on a team? So it's to set the purpose, the mission, and the vision for the team. It's to communicate that in a consistent basis, daily, weekly, monthly, annually, quarterly. Hold ourselves accountable to each other and to help each other. Inspire by example and encouragement and recognition. And then coach the players individually each month, one-on-one. So as time goes on, you will have a bigger and bigger team. So one of the things that you need to do is to have a monthly coaching session like I do with you. Mm-hmm. And with each member of the team, and you talk about their individual roles and responsibilities and their development. So asking the question, how are you doing? What's on your mind? How are you doing in your role on the team? And how are you doing on your personal development? And just that accountability session And coaching session will mean that each person on the team does dramatically better than they would have done because we all do better with accountability.
Right.
Now, if we don't have that, then we tend to drift. So that's why we put, of the five stars, the leadership star is the most important. Because without that commitment and vision, we don't get to where we want to be.
Yeah, that's my role. I chose, the team voted me into leadership.
That's good. And every year, I always said, I want to lead the office so that every year we have an election and I am elected the office director or the manager. Think about if you did that. I think Nico would get elected every year, not because somebody appointed him, but because everybody values him as their leader. And that's a very hard thing to do that. You have to be a very special person to get that. And so think about what it is about him that makes him such a valued part of your team and everybody's team in the office. And then how do you become a leader like him? So the greatest thing in the world is having a good leader because you can then learn from him. It's like having a good dad. Learning, because we learn by example. We learn by watching.
Exactly. You learn by actions, not by what
you say. Yeah, my dad used to say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I used to say, we're going to do just like you, all right? Not what you say, but what you actually do.
To watch you, not what you're saying.
Right, yeah. So, I've been working with some young people, and it's challenging, or not young, but new in the business, and they never quite, you know, in the beginning know what they're doing or why they're doing what they're doing. And I think it's really important to understand, you know, and to get yourself to a point where you are, your vision, your mission is something you really believe in. So that when you meet with any of these people, a center of influence or anybody else, you're very passionate about what you do. And I've been trying to get to the heart of this guy. You know, why is he not doing better? And today we had a call, which was really interesting. We went back and talked about his, because I said, you know, LinkedIn is great, and so is Facebook. And I said, you're interested in connecting with people that you have something in common with, right? And the more you have, basically, the more you're in the same tribe, the easier it is for them to trust you. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, so I said, link with everybody on Facebook that you went to high school with and college, and the same with people that you're, you know, people that you worked with and et cetera. Why is everyone calling me? Am I overtime? No. Okay. Everybody knows I'm working, right? Anyway, so it turned out today that his father died when he was 16, and it threw the family into chaos. They were totally unprepared for it. And it made, you know, he was a very brilliant kid and did fine in high school, but it threw him off so much that he didn't do well. He flunked out of college and then floundered around and then went back to college and finished and then went to MIT and got a master's and then went to MIT and got another master's. So the kid is smart. The young man is smart as hell. But their family had no plan. They weren't organized. They had no estate planning. They had nothing. You know, they were just a mess. His father was gone all the time working. So the mother wasn't strong. So it, you know, there's the passion, right? I mean, if you don't have passion about planning after you've gone through it personally, then you'll never have it. So get up in front of people and tell that story, right? If you're unlucky enough to have that happen to you, at least use it to direct your energy to help other people so it never happens to them. So that's what I mean. Find your passion. Find your reason, raison d'etre, your reason to do it. If you have to make up a story about, you know, that happened to somebody else, not make it up, but I mean.
Something you saw, and that's when you determined that that's right.
Right. It was, you know, and the story of once I was lost and now I'm found is the most powerful story. That's what people want to hear. And the worse it is, the better it is for entertaining purposes. And a lot of times you can be an entertainer. That's what they actually want, entertainment.
Yeah.
So when you're speaking to people, speak from the heart. You know, this is why I do what I do. So people, and there isn't a person out there right now, no matter how much they think they've got everything taken care of, that really has everything taken care of. Okay? I mean, my aunt died, and my dad called me because he wasn't well, and my mom has never been the most detailed person, let me put it gently. And so I volunteered to go down and spend a week with them unraveling this mess. The closets were a mess. The closets were a symptom of everything else. My mom said from then on she'll never have messy closets. But guess where everything was?
Where?
God knows where. There was no central accounting. There were account statements from all kinds of banks all over the place. We had no idea, you know, what was should to be done. And it took a week to follow up to find her money and find everything and get statements with death certificates. And, oh, my God. So, you know, that's not motivation. But that's not untypical. So in your folder from now on, I want you to have, and Cindy's putting this together because we used to have it, but it's kind of your contingency plan. For example, I have $200,000 life insurance policy with New York Life that I bought when we first got married, and I've made the payments and now it's fully paid up and I don't need to do anything with it, but I only get a statement every 6 months, and if I died, no one would know what, you know, until that statement came that I even owned it. So it should be the name, that whatever it is, whether it's an annuity or a life insurance policy or an account at Morgan Stanley or UBS or Merrill Lynch, who is the advisor and what's the phone number? You know, if it's New York Life, the advisor and the phone number, et cetera. And it's, you know, if you plan on
having being cremated? Where are you going to be cremated? Who's the person, and what's the phone number? Everything should be taken care of. Everything should be thought out. Not for you, but what happens if, for example, with the two of you, what happens if you both are in a plane crash and get killed? What happens to the kids?
You'd have to get Roxanne on a plane first.
We've gone on business trips before where we were going to be on the same plane, and I booked two separate planes at two different times. I kid you not.
No, I believe it. I believe it. But you guys think about that.
You want to hear that?
Right?
The irony of it, that we get to the Fort Lauderdale Airport, and Rick can't find his you know, where he departs from, and it turns out that one carrier was selling tickets for the other carrier, so we ended up on the same plane.
U.S. Airways and United.
So you thought you were being so smart, you ended up on the same plane. Oh, well. But you didn't. I bet you didn't sit together, though.
Statistically reduced the possibility.
She put me towards the front.
He will go first.
Right, you go first.
He's kidding, by the way.
I know. I love it. I love it. Anyway, do you see? You see where I'm going with this?
Yes. And actually, that's actually a good way to present the folder as well. Is basically when you give it to the client, it's telling them this is your contingency folder. Put everything in here so that it's easier for your family in case anything ever happens.
Right.
It's got all your trusted advisors. It's got, you know. It's got everybody. You know, you've got your enthusiastically endorsed list on there, and then you've got your contingency plan.
Yeah.
So everybody should be in there that you count on. You know, your concierge physician, your heart doctor, everybody. Okay. So I really love this. I love this idea of, you know, why are we different in planning? Why are we different in our implementation of the planning process? We are attention to detail. We cross the I's, dot the T's. You know, we do forensic planning, detail. One of your associates had a professional athlete who was putting in $100,000 a month into an account, and he had bought a new Porsche or something for $120,000, had financed it at 7%, and had liability of insurance for $50,000. Well, when this FA did the planning on him, he realized this. And asked and raised his disability, his liability insurance to $3 million, and refinanced the money for the loan at 3% instead of 7%. Okay, and to me, and therefore this professional athlete loves this guy, right? It turns out the insurance agent tried to get the guy to buy $3 million of liability. But he wouldn't do it. So now the insurance agent, who's not a competitor, is going to be a center of influence for this FA. And the client goes from being a client to being an advocate and hopefully an ambassador. Okay? Just because he went well above and beyond what the normal FA would do. And that's a great story, see? It's a good story. Why are we different? Well, let me tell you a story about this professional athlete, right? That's what we do versus what others do. We manage the liability side of things as well as the asset side of things. We look at all your risk management, not just portfolio risk. I like that. That was pretty good. See, I learned from you guys, too. It's very helpful when you're out there meeting with centers of influence and doing what you're doing. I can actually be a real coach. Until you get out on the tennis court and hit the ball and play in a tournament, I can't be the coach, right? If you're not ever going to get on the tennis court, how can I help you? So the more you guys are out there trying these things and doing them, the more I can really be a coach. So that's your job. Lots of games. Playing a lot of tournaments this week. I want to hear a lot of stories. You're going to get better and better and better. You don't get better by sitting on the bench. Get better by getting up and getting into the tournaments.
Yeah.
And then these words that come so easily to me will come so easily to you. But you got to practice them and you got to do it. And guess who's the end is really, think about what we're doing. Think about the client. How much better off is the client today than they ever were years ago? It's like cars with safety belts and airbags and side mirrors and things that stop automatically. I mean, what we're doing today is light years away ahead of what we used to do as brokers.
Yeah.
I mean, your work is tremendously important today. And if somebody still has a broker, that's crazy. Okay? You use that analogy. It's a good analogy. Ooh, it's good. I'm kind of on fire here today.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, you bring up an interesting point of the liability insurance as far as like their automobile insurance and their home insurance and all that. That's somewhere where we could add value that no other advisor or broker, definitely not a broker, is looking at.
Right. Right.
Have to sell it. That's actually where you add value because you're not selling them a product. You're making sure that they're properly insured.
Got it.
You know, because they may have a $10
nest egg and you have
$50,000 liability on their car.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have your enthusiastically endorsed agent, right?
True.
That you can refer to them in case they have a bad agent. You know, do you like your agent? Oh yeah, he's fabulous. Okay, let's call him. You know, tell him what you want, what we're recommending, and he'll be, think about it, right? Somebody wants to raise their liability insurance. Nobody's going to cry at that, right? Wonderful. So now you get a new center of influence, or you refer him to an existing center of influence. That's why you want to make sure you check with people's disability. When they work for a company, they're usually given disability, but they can very inexpensively buy a multiple of that disability for short money. And my recommendation is get them to do that. Very little money, they can buy two or three times the disability that the company gives them.
Yeah.
It's just another thing you can do. So that's your risk. That's how you manage risk, see? That's as good an analogy as I've ever thought about in helping, you know, in explaining what you do today. Who would ever drive a I mean, seriously, I understand buying old muscle cars and things like that, but we don't really want your child to run around without, you know, seat belts and airbags and safety equipment. I just bought my daughter a car because it has, you know, the warning light, the warning signs and the backup thing and all that. She didn't have the, you know, and the mirrors. So when you're, you know, on your blind side, it blinks when somebody's there.
And
for me, there's nothing more important than my daughter and my granddaughter. Their safety is critical. If I can help in any way to protect them, I'm going to do it. Okay, guys. I think that's going to unfortunately be it for today.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope I was helpful. What are the big three takeaways from today?
Ask for introductions, not referrals. Remember to do that.
Manage risk is not only, you know, life insurance and long-term care. It's also other types of insurance and other parts of their financial life that no one's really looking at.
And you're going to send us something to start adding to the folders,
the
contingency plan for clients.
Right.
Which we actually have an organizer here, and we actually gave it to a client that we met with recently.
But it's a lot of pages.
It's a lot of pages, yeah. It's not a one-page type thing.
Yeah, we want it to be just one page, but if you get what I send you and you don't like it or want to add to it, edit it, do, please, because you guys know you're in the field. So it really is a help. So that's great. Well, thank you, guys. It's been a great call. I've gotten a lot out of it myself, and I hope you did too.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
No, not next week.
Next following week.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yay.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.